Love you. We thank you for your word, Lord, because we know your word, whenever it gets in us, it changes us. And Lord, the fact of the matter is, there's so many, all of us need to change, Lord. So I pray through the power of your word, Lord, the anointing, Father, as it goes forth, opening our ears and our hearts to receive, Father, I pray it in Jesus' name that it'll change us. Amen and amen. This is Lamentations 3:39. If you want to go there real quickly, but I'm just going to read it quickly. Lamentations 3:39, not Laminations. It says, "And why would anyone gifted with life complain?" Come on, folks. This morning is our Thanksgiving message, and instead of preaching a Thanksgiving message, I'm going to go to kind of the opposite of it, because this is what I believe. I believe that there is this real contrast between Thanksgiving and complaining. These words, they really kind of express really two contrasting attitudes found in God's children. And I really believe that sometimes whenever God deals with us, whenever God's in the midst of our lives as He's our Father and we're His children, I think sometimes we can slip up and actually complain when we ought to be thankful. Sometimes I think we can slip up and actually complain whenever we ought to be thankful. Oh. You see, the soul that gives thanks can find comfort in everything. Seriously, everything. I remember a kid coming to church and he had broke his leg, had to have surgery on his leg. It was a really awful break. And so anyway, I was talking to him about it and I said, "Man, you know, I'm really sorry you broke your leg." And he said, "It's all right. I got another one." You know, and I thought, hey, that's positive right there. I mean, the soul that is full of thanksgiving, they can find comfort in anything. But the soul that complains, they're the ones that can't find comfort in anything. Are y'all there? On the highway leading to a town called Yankton in South Dakota, this is what it reads. It says, "Yankton, South Dakota, the home of 30,000 friendly people and a few sore heads." You see, the thing is, I think there, all of us have the capacity inside of us to become sore heads every once in a while. We may know it by different terms, such as griping, grumbling, whining, belly aching. I don't need to go any further, do I? But you know, that's where we find ourselves sometimes. In the King James, the term was used all through the New and Old Testament. It was called murmuring. Murmuring. They murmured against Moses. They murmured against God. So regardless of the word that you use to describe it, complaining always has the same symptoms. The dictionary defines it as an expression of unhappiness, an expression of dissatisfaction, an expression of discontent. You see, complaining is the outward expression of discontent from within. See, whenever you're discontented, it starts coming out your mouth. "I don't like that. I don't like that over there. I don't like the president. I don't like the Congress. I don't like anybody. I don't even like myself." See, but whenever you're contented on the inside, man, I love my country. I love my president. I don't care who it is. We're in a great place, folks. A certain man who was well known for his constant complaining, he inherited a large sum of money. Whenever he got it, he complained about how it was not as much as he thought it should be. He bought a farm and he asked his wife what she thought they should name the farm. She said, "Why don't you call it Belly Acres?" Fact is, this morning, looking at all y'all's shining faces and how wonderful you're looking, this message is probably not going to apply to most of us this morning. I'm sure that none of us have a problem with complaining, but you probably know somebody who needs it, so you know where to direct them. Complaining seems to have become literally a great American pastime. We live in a very complaining society. Be very honest with you, I think people gripe about everything. complaining really kind of seems to be a popular pastime, if you think about it. I mean, just look at your own life for the last 2 or 3 days. You know, what is it that you have complained about? It's too cold. It's too hot. Too much rain. Not enough rain. You see, whenever people get together for an evening of fellowship, first thing you know, a lot of times it's turned to a complaining session. Somebody's complaining about somebody, something. Employees complain about the company they work with. Students complain about their teachers. They complain about the workload. They complain about the test being too hard. Complaining seems to be this kind of normal procedure this day. It's just whenever we get amongst one another, it just seems to be complaining always comes out. Complaining is so common that it could be called literally a way of life. And folks, I have to tell you, I'm not sure, but I don't think that's the way God wants us to be. I just don't think He wants it to be a way of life for us. Just about everybody complains. And, you know, as I was putting this together, I thought, you know, everybody complains. For heaven's sake, I complain. But really, can I just help us all out here? Why shouldn't we? Taxes, the government, traffic. The other day on South Skeena, I had to wait and let like 4 cars go by before I could get out. It's horrible. I mean, there's troubles of all kinds that come our way. And I'm just thinking, you know, if everybody complains, you know, it's kind of like, why not? Why shouldn't we complain? You see, but the commonness of complaining doesn't make it right. The Word of God comes down pretty hard on the sin of complaining. And that's the first time I've thrown that into the mix. But folks, I got to tell you something. Complaining is a sin. I mean, you get a preschooler out there that, you know, they complain, I don't want to take a nap. You get children says, my teacher gives me too much homework. Teenagers complain. My parents they never let me do nothing. They never let me do everything. Mom complains, how many times do I have to tell you, make your bed? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Dad's come in. I work hard all week long. When I come in, it's like you get on my case for everything. Yeah, I know you've been asking me to do that for a year, but that's okay. Somebody said on the seventh day, God rested, and on the eighth day, He started answering complaints. You see, I think that there is probably few sins out there that are so ugly as the sin of complaining. There seems to be very little thankfulness, very little gratitude today among God's people, but a whole lot of complaining. You see, complaining has become part of our culture, but it's not anything new. Who was the first complainer? Adam. That wife you gave me, God. He stuck that apple in my mouth. That made me chew it. Wasn't exactly like that. Complaining is probably one of the most prevalent sins among Christians. Those who never think of committing any kind of sin often are guilty of this sin of complaining. And all complaining is against God and His providential will for your life. To murmur, to grumble, to complain against God is a sin, and we got to recognize it as such. So do Christians living in America know the dangers of complaining today? Because, I mean, I found myself complaining. I was complaining just yesterday. So do I know how dangerous it is for me to complain? For heaven's sake, I didn't even think about this. I was complaining this morning. Now, it was to myself, but I was still doing it. But do I actually know the dangers that are involved whenever you and I take on this persona, whenever we begin to be people that complain? You see, I don't think we really put that much stock in it. We don't put that much relevance in it. I think the complaining oftentimes is a symptom of a very deep-seated spiritual problem. And that is a failure to trust God and a failure to be submissive to His providential will for our lives. I mean, seriously, folks, if we really, really, really trusted God, I mean, if we really trust, why in the world would we need to complain? I mean, something happens, we go, hey, you got my back, don't you, babe? Come on, really? I mean, why would we need to complain about it? Dishwasher goes, parts go all over the kitchen floor. No big deal because He's got my back. Are y'all there? Going down the road, tire falls off, goes through the house. I don't know. Why would we complain about it? Because God has our back. He said, I will supply all of your needs. Every need. So you just go, hey, tire fell off. Oh, you've seen it. Okay, never mind. You got me though, right? So there's no reason to complain. But the other thing is that we are in the providential hands of God. His providential hands have a hold of our lives. Now, I'm sitting in traffic coming back with the van. This is Thursday. It's dark outside. I had enough gas to make it onto Highway 74 because we bought the van in Charlotte. Now, just tell you how we think, okay? I'm sitting stuck in traffic. And the reason that I'm stuck in traffic is because about a half mile before my exit, there was an accident that literally shut down I-85. I'm sitting there waiting, and I think we were probably there almost an hour. And this was my thinking. I stopped for gas and filled up prior to that. If I would have waited after that, I would have made it past the wreck and been on my way. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, God, I wish I hadn't stopped for gas. I wish I hadn't wasted that 5 minutes because I would have been merrily down my way. And this was what He spoke to me. But if you hadn't have, you might have been involved in that accident. And I said, okay. Okay. Understood. He has me. He has me. He's got my life. He's taking care of me. And complaining is this really serious sin that we tend to take it very lightly. And the reason that I know that I take it lightly so often is because I do it so often. Christians who complain about their circumstances would do well to ponder this very sobering verse and its background. God has greatly blessed His people, Israel. We're going to go back in time just a little bit. This is in Numbers chapter 11. He's blessed His people, delivered them literally supernaturally from slavery in Egypt. He protected them against their enemies, miraculously supplying their daily bread, water from the desert. But do you realize even in the midst of that, they still complained? I mean, one miracle after the next miracle after the next miracle after the next miracle after the next miracle, and they still complained. They complained about their food. They complained about the imaginary luxuries because they said, man, we had it good in Egypt. We had it good. We had cucumbers, man. It's really in there. We had all kinds of bread. We had bread. We were slaves and they beat the tar out of us and made us build bricks, but we had cucumbers. They complained. They complained about all these things that they had left behind in Egypt. And this is what it says in Numbers 11. It says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled. In the New King James, I think it says His anger was aroused. So let me give you some reasons why it displeased God. Number one, complaining denies God's sovereignty. He really does got this thing in control, folks. This world is not spinning out of control. Your life is not spinning out of control if it is in His hands. Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? That's what Pharaoh asked. Whenever Moses went to him, he said, let my people go. Who is this Lord? I should obey His voice. The sovereign God of the universe showed His power. The Israelites, they leave Egypt wealthy and they go through the Red Sea on dry land and God destroys their enemy. The success in entering the promised land depended on the sovereignty of God in their life. I mean, He was leading them. So whenever they murmur and whenever they complain against Moses and Aaron, they are calling to question God's ability to carry out His will in their life. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't start this in my life. God did. I was merrily on my way being a heathen. Are y'all? God intervened in my life. He came into my life and He started this thing. He started it. But what I know about the Word is the Bible tells me that if He started it, He's going to finish it in Jesus' name. And somewhere along the line, I just got to get it in my head that He is able to carry out His will for my life. See, complaining, it's just a surface symptom of something that's going on deeper inside of you. And that deeper inside of you is discontentment. See, that's why I think Thanksgiving is such a wonderful day, because folks, this is where we pause. We think, you know, Lord, thank you for all of the bounty that you have poured into my life. Man, He has been good to me. He has been really good to me. Oh, I'm telling you. He's been good. But sometimes whenever we look around and we go, well, you know, I don't have as big a house as I want. You know, my car has a lot of miles on it. You know, my wife, she's mean. My kids, they bit me. You know, I don't know. You know, we get in this idea of, oh, you know, I've got it so bad. But folks, that's discontentment going on inside of us. And so thus, we are going to complain the next ear we find to complain to. That's why the Bible so strongly condemns complaining. The murmurings and the grumbling and the complaints are evidence that we're dissatisfied with the way God's doing things. I don't like this much. It's exactly right. I mean, God, I hate this. Or could we say, God, You got me. You've got me. And the sovereignty of our God is able to take me from today to tomorrow. It is able to make these things that I'm facing tomorrow give me victories. Give me victories over them tomorrow. We've just got to look at it like that. He really does have our back. You see, the solution to this problem is to recognize our sin and to realize and acknowledge that our Heavenly Father always knows best. See, I'm good with God. I'm good with God. The only thing that I ask God for is this. Is that He would just let me have a bigger role in running my life. Some of y'all are looking at me. I cannot believe He said that. Well, y'all are guilty of it too. I mean, folks, that's bottom line. Well, we want to be God over our own lives. But I have to tell you, God is better at running my life than I am, and I have proved it. Yes! Come on! I've proved it. Not only have I proved it once, but I've proved it over and over and over again that God really does know what's best for me. He knows what's best for me as those little things that come into my life that He allows me to face. You know, that just aren't so pleasant sometimes. Every complaint against our circumstance, every grumble about the weather, about the way people treat us, about our daily trials in life, it's directed against the one who works all things after the counsel of His own will. That's Ephesians 1:11. This is His will being worked out in our life. And who am I to put the Almighty God on cross-examination? Seriously. I mean, I've told people that they didn't know what they were doing before. You know, you have any idea what you're doing? You're messing up. You don't know what you're doing. Let me have it. But we don't have a right to do that to God. It is really too quiet in here. I'm just saying, we just don't have the right to do that. You see, I'm in a better position than He to judge what is and is not good for me. That's my attitude oftentimes.
God, you're not living where I'm living. You don't know what's going on inside my house. You don't know how my wife is, my kids are, my dog. That's what we think. Because I live here every day, I'm a whole lot better in a better position than you, God, to make decisions for my life. But the fact of the matter is, ask yourself this question. How far can you see into the future? Come on.
I can't see in the future. I can't even see where I'm at right now.
Paul in Acts 16, he's in the Philippian jail. And Silas is there next to him. They've been beaten. They've been put in there just for doing something good, casting this demon out of this young girl. And this is what they find themselves doing. And I mean, they got the tar beat out of them. Are y'all with me? I mean, they didn't just go in there and say, we're going to give you a spanking. I mean, they whooped on these guys. All right. They throw them back in this jail. And I'm telling you, they didn't have TV. They didn't have nothing back in those days. This is a dark, damp, horrible dungeon that they're in. And the Bible tells us that Paul and Silas started rejoicing. They started praising the God that they served. And you have to understand why. Because they believed in the sovereignty of God. They could have taken it upon themselves. Man, Paul, you are so stupid for doing that. Hate you. I wish I'd have never come with you. Trouble follows you, man.
But they believed in the sovereignty of God. Man, they believed that God was able. God had them in His hand. They believed that. And guess what? He did. Read on. Man, the jail shook. The door flew open, man. They got out. The whole prison was saved. Are y'all there with me? I mean, God really does have their back. And one of the big problems with our complaining is it focuses on what's frustrating us. And it forgets about the big picture. I've got this saying. Have you ever had somebody like do something and you just wanted to get real mad at them? And like track them down and hit them with a bat? Three people are honest. Good. Four, five, six. I'll take seven. You know, I'm not advocating this because it's a nonviolent church, okay? I'm just saying. But I've got this little kind of formula that I run it through. I say, okay, Watson, you can track them down and hit them with a bat if 15 years from now, you will remember this and it'll make a difference in your life. And I sit there and I go, probably won't make much difference even next week. So I have to put the bat back in the closet. Seriously. So many times we don't see the big picture. We just see that little frustration at the moment. Are y'all with me? We don't see, I mean, 15, man, I can remember getting upset about all kinds of things, throwing stuff, kicking stuff, breaking doors down and all. And guess what? I still, to this day, I don't even remember what I was upset about most of the time. Are y'all there? I'm glad somebody's there with me. These people in Numbers 11 went on to complain about their wilderness diet. They went on to talk about the great food that they had in Egypt. They forgot, as I said a moment ago, that they were slaves while they were there. See, whenever we're nearsighted and we're just looking at the irritations and the frustrations that are in front of us, we lose our perspective. We blow today's problems way out of proportion. And everyone said, I've done that before. We forget about the large picture, the great thing that God's doing in our lives. We miss that big picture. The big picture includes God's sovereignty. You see, complaining is an expression of unbelief towards God's sovereignty in our life. Complaining is unbelief in the Word of God, which says all things work together for our good to those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. I mean, if we really believe that, are y'all with me? Hey, it's all right, man. God's going to cause this to work out for my good. See, whenever your dishwasher goes, and parts are all over the floor. You know, you go in there, this can never be good. It can never, never, never be good. But then you got to say,
but God. Well, he's got my back. And he's going to cause all these parts and pieces to work together for my good somehow. Hey, you may go to Lowe's to buy a new one, and he puts you in contact with somebody there in the dishwasher department that needs Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And I got to be honest with you, paying however much a dishwasher costs is worth getting somebody saved and into the kingdom. Are y'all there with me? Because by the time you got home with that dishwasher, you'd probably forget completely about how much it cost. All you'd be saying is, man, I got to lead somebody to Jesus today. Whoa! Or maybe you wouldn't. I don't know. You see, we lose our perspective. We forget that large picture. He's working together for our good. And so this morning, I kind of got to ask you the question, because I've already confessed to you where I'm at with you. But do you complain? Don't answer out loud. That's all right. Let your spouse answer for you. That'd be, yeah, I think that'd work right here. Yeah. I mean, here's one that's a test. What are your comments about the weather generally like? I'm just going to stand here for a moment. Man, I've heard this so many times in North Carolina. Man, it's just raining too much. We're getting too much rain. And you know what I tell people? I say, move to New Mexico. I say, man, God has to make it rain here. This stuff has to have a lot of water to keep it green. Come on. I'm thankful that we live in a green place. Hello? You could live in the deserts of Carlsbad, New Mexico, and you'd come back saying, these trees look real good. God, I thank you for the rain. Praise God. How do you talk about your spouse? Not in front of them. I'm talking about... Let me just tell you something. I know almost all of y'all personally. And you're lucky to be married. Okay? You're lucky to find somebody that would say, I do. Because most of the folks out there, they say, I don't. No, sir. Listen, my wife was a beautiful Christian girl whenever I married her. And I'll tell you what, she had been taught by some great pastor some enormous truths, because my wife married me as a benevolent act. She went home and she said, Mom, if I don't marry him, nobody will ever marry him. And she married me. So we should not complain about our spouses. What kinds of things do you say about your job? And the list goes on and on. Do you complain about someone that didn't treat you the way that you thought you ought to be treated? Folks, I got to tell you, I almost think that this next statement is scary. But I'm kind of getting to the point where I believe religious people are some of the biggest culprits in complaining. Folks, I got to tell you something. We complain about this sinful world that's around us. Let me just tell you something. Sinners are going to act like sinners. Don't get all upset whenever they cuss or smoke or spit or chew in front of you. I just cannot believe it. He smoked a cigarette right there in the front step of the church. Praise God he was that close to the church. I'm serious. Oh, he came in the church and he had all these tattoos and piercings and his hair was all spiked up in purple and he sat right down in the front. Praise God. God! Come on, people. I mean, we get this religiosity and we think, man, we know how the world's got to be. Folks, the world is lost and they're going to act like they're lost. If I go home today and my dog is up on the porch figuring my taxes, I'm going to tell you, man, something freaky's going on. But if my dog's running around wagging her tail and jumping in the car, are you with me? I said, that's my dog. Dogs are going to act like dogs act. And sinners are going to act like sinners. This is a time whenever I think we just have to take a moment and examine ourselves. We got to be more thankful for things that God sends our way. like cold weather. Man, I shook a few of y'all's hands today, and I promise you, you must have ice packs in your pockets or something. I mean, I shook your hands on, yeah. I didn't do that, but I wanted to. Well, are you thankful for cold weather? Folks, without cold weather, do you realize that this place would be a mess? What about hot weather? Thankful for that?
Sometimes. If I'm in the air conditioning, I'm real thankful.
You know, have you ever complained when the weather ruined your plans? Or were you content with what the Lord determines for you? And everybody is looking at me weird. That's what it boils down to. Well, it's raining today. We can't go fishing. But Lord, my life's in your hands. And so there must be something today that I need to be doing outside of going fishing. Come on. Instead of going, I hate the weather. It rains every day here. I hate those clouds. I hate those raindrops. I hate it. I'm just giving you a taste of what happens at my house. No, it's my wife, not me. If you're thinking about me, I'm just... just a joke, Renee. Just a joke. Just a joke joke. Again, complaining is directed at God. And He has ordered the circumstances around our lives. And so, again, this can be a real symptom of a deeper spiritual problem. And what is that problem? It's a failure to trust God, a failure to submit to His providential will. Complaining is a spiritual problem, and it's not superficial. Complaining is distrust against God. It's non-submission to His plan for your life. Because, folks, whenever God changes circumstances in our life, what we got to do is just go ahead and say, we're in your hands, Lord. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus taught us to pray that every day. Your will be done. And all of a sudden something doesn't go our way and we're going, oh man, I hate this. I just hate every living minute of it. And God is like, I'm trying to get you a place that you didn't think you were going to go today. It's a serious sin. And I got to tell you, God hates it. And if you want to know how serious it is, He's destroyed people for it. He says that what He did to them, slaughtering them in the wilderness, is an example to you at the end of the age of how God feels about the sin of complaining. Just a little story here, because I think sometimes we just lose sight of things, or sometimes we just don't see what we need to see. And so this is a story called Bush Eyes. Bush, B-U-S-H, eyes. Have you ever had bush eyes? One time a missionary was walking along a trail with natives when suddenly one of the natives shot his gun near the missionary. He killed a huge poisonous green snake in the path, and the missionary didn't see it at first. He would have stepped on it, and he asked, how come I didn't see that? They walked on, and soon the native grabbed his arm and said, look, do you see that leopard? The missionary said there was no way he could see it until it moved. He said, wait a minute, why couldn't I see it? I walk on the same path of you as you. You see the snake, I see the path. You point out what looks to me like shadows in a stone, and it becomes a leopard. Why couldn't I see them? You know this could be dangerous. What was the native's reply? He said, you have to get your bush eyes. If you stay in the jungle long enough, you'll develop what they call bush eyes. You see, folks, we've got to be looking around for God's fingerprints on every part of our lives. Y'all there? It's not that He just puts His hand on us at the day of salvation and then He says, okay, you're on your own. Go free. Go out and play. God wants us to see His fingerprints on our lives every day that we are alive. The sovereignty of His will. Oh, it's raining today. I can't do what I was planning on doing. But God, I submit to the will of God in my life. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's your sovereignty, God. I'm in your hands. You see, I have a fear that I might walk through this life being blind to the hand of God on my life. And sometimes I will tell you without hesitation, I have complained about God doing things in my life. I was called out to an emergency one time. I had my kids in the van. We were all packed, ready to go to the lake, going fishing. It was one of the only days off I had during the week. And I got this call and had to answer the call to a couple who they served in my children's ministry. And they were just beautiful, lovely people. And I went to their home and there was cop cars, ambulances everywhere. Didn't have no idea what was going on. And I'll be honest with you, the whole way over there, I was complaining about stupid that I have to go over here. I have to do this. I was going fishing. I had my kids. I had a picnic lunch. I had bait bought. I get there. Cop standing on the front door. No, not on the front door. Front porch. Difficult to stand on the door. As I was walking up, I just wanted a heads up. I said, "What's going on? You know, Pastor, and I've been called here, emergency." And he just pointed off the porch. He said, "He just committed suicide." And I just, all of that complaining, are y'all understanding? It just evaporated. And I said, "God has called me here to minister to this family." And so I went in and began to do what, as a pastor, I'm called to do. And I was very thankful that I was there, because of all the pastors on staff, I knew this family probably better than any of them. Whenever the Holy Spirit is allowed to open our eyes, to give us those God eyes instead of bush eyes, to give us those God eyes so that we can see where and when nobody else can see God working in our lives. The second thing that it does, and I'm going to close very quickly with these last two, complaining disrupts Christian unity. Y'all remember the story of Joshua and Caleb as they were sent out to spy out the land. You see, 10 complainers came back and they said, "Man, we can't do it. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes. We can't do it. They're huge. There's all kinds of monsters and giants all over the land. We can't do it." You see, it affected a whole nation. Joshua and Caleb are up there going, saying, "Hey, man, we can do it. We can do it. God is with us." But complaining literally affected the unity of the whole nation of Israel. It affected the unity. Folks, I got to tell you, complaining affects unity. Whenever you complain about a brother and sister in the Lord, you're walking on dangerous ground. I mean, you can look across sanctuary and, "I just don't like that car he drives. I don't like the way she fixes her hair. And that shirt he's got on, oh my. Cannot believe he wore that to church." We do. Whenever we complain about people in the body of Christ, whenever we complain about our spouse, folks, if you think complaining does not affect unity within the home, you've not lived where I've lived. Complaining affects your job. If you complain about your job all the time, you're going to get up in the morning not wanting to go to work. "I hate my job." Well, the reason is you've talked yourself into hating it. Come on. Somebody else might be doing the same job that you're doing, loves their job. What's the difference here? Well, they're stupid and I'm not. Or maybe the reverse. I don't know. Sometimes we exaggerate. You know, here in the story of Joshua and Caleb, you know, these 10 spies, they said that we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. Let me just say something. That's not true. They look like pretty formidable foes, but, you know, they might have been an inch or two smaller. Are y'all there with me? Sometimes we have this tendency to exaggerate just a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? "Man, if I keep doing this job much longer, it's going to kill me." I've told my wife this before. "There was like a million things that went wrong today at the office." She said, "Really? How'd you count them all?" "I got a clicker." And I got to tell you, complaining is like yawning. It's contagious. Ed and I are riding to Charlotte the other day, and he starts yawning. I told him to stop doing it. I said, "Stop that." You remember? So it's contagious. You can't yawn. Somebody in the car with you, if you're all by yourself, go ahead, yawn all you want to, but not with me in here. I'm not taking your drug. The sin of complaining is contagious. I mean, man, I've seen churches split before because somebody started a complaint. And they started complaining about this carpet. Oh, I hate this carpet. I don't know why they bought green carpet and put it in here. The board is such a bunch of ninnies. Are y'all there with me? I wanted blue. Somebody told me they wanted burnt orange. And I said, we had that. I mean, one dog barks and the whole neighborhood starts barking. Whenever I was in Winston-Salem, we had this nursery. And I mean, we had these cribs that were like stacked three high. They're almost like little jail cells we put babies in. We never said that exactly to the parents, but that's what it was. It was stacked three high and there was like nine of them. So man, we had like 27 cribs in here. We put these babies in there. But I got to tell you, man, whenever one baby starts to really cry, and I don't mean just like going, hey, hey, but I mean, whenever they open up and they let her go, the whole nursery starts crying. And so we actually had a place whenever one baby started crying, they removed that one baby from the nursery. The reason they cry is because their parents are a bunch of whiners. But anyway, it's contagious. It is. I'm serious. That's one of the things why it's so nice to pastor this church, because we only got like a dozen or so complainers. And so and this is what I found out about it. Do you realize this? The complaining doesn't change anything. It doesn't make the situation better. It only frustrates. It only amplifies. It only spreads discontent and discord. Number three, complaining discredits Christian testimony. We walk about and we say that we're followers of God, and we love Him, and we tell people how good He is, and then the very next thing that comes out of our mouths is murmuring and complaining.
I hate the elections. Nothing went the way I voted. I hate Congress. I hate how much gasoline costs. I hate how much gasoline it takes to run my car. Food prices are enormous. I'm telling you, that Ingles, they got a... They're communists that are running that place, I'm telling you. I mean, $10 for a turkey, that's ridiculous.
And people look at us and they go, but I thought your God was good.
Oh, He is, but all this other garbage isn't.
This is what it says in Philippians chapter 2. Do all things without complaining and disputing. I looked at the Greek because I wanted to make sure it was a good translation. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing. So the Greek says, do all things without complaining and disputing. That all word, they got it right, translated it perfect. It says, do all things without complaining or disputing. You see, this is the very reason why we are to do all things without complaining, without murmuring, that we become blameless and harmless children of God. You're called to be that child of God. That child of God that doesn't walk around saying everything is bad. I'm telling you, folks, even if everything is bad, it's okay for you, because He said, listen, you're in My hand. There's nothing that can pull you out of My hand. He also said, I can make every situation that you face turn out for your good, for your betterment. That's the promises He's made to us. We've got promise after promise after promise after promise. And folks, whenever we go, man, my dishwasher blew up, parts all over the place, I don't know what I'm going to do. Complain, complain. Those GE dishwashers are horrible. I think everybody at the GE plant needs to be taken out and whipped because they didn't put it together right. They're all communists up there anyway. Y'all with me? And we're supposed to be believers. We're supposed to be followers of God. I promise you this, God never complains. Never complains. We're called to be the children we should be. I grew up in a home that complaining was a way of life. My own father was like chief among all complainers. I mean, seriously. He complained about it. One time he was sitting at the breakfast table and he was putting salt and pepper on his egg and he went like that with a pepper shaker and it was empty. Didn't have pepper in it. And he threw it away. The garbage can was just over there. He made a pretty good shot to you. Throw that thing in the trash. Ain't got no pepper in it anyway, Zill. I don't know why you don't ever put pepper in that thing. Blah, 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 blah. My mom goes and gets it out of the trash can. Well, I didn't know it didn't have pepper in it. I'll fill it up for you. I'm like, Dad, come on. Get pepper in it yourself. But I'll be honest with you. Whenever I left home and I started running around with believers, it was nice not to be around a complainer all the time. I'll just be honest with you. I don't like to be around people that are grumbler complaining. That's why I left home the other day, because of my own self. Okay, just a good little story and we're going to close. A young girl surprised her mother with a very beautiful and an unexpected gift that she had purchased with her allowance. The little girl said, Mom, this is for you because you work so hard and nobody seems to appreciate it around here. Well, honey, your father works hard too. The little girl said, I know, but he doesn't complain about it. Yeah. It discredits our Christian testimony. We're supposed to be men and women of God. It denies the sovereignty of God in our lives. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning. It disrupts Christian unity and it discredits who we are as people of God. And so I got to tell you, there's pills for all different kinds of things. If you got a headache, you go in and you take headache pill, right? Pretty soon your headache's gone. Unless your headache is in the form of a person. I'm sorry, I just couldn't. You know, there's like a prescription for everything. Well, if you got this, you know, if your toenails are rotten and coming off, you can go get this. If your fingernails are rotten and coming off, you can get this. You know, if you don't have any hair, you can get this and put it on there. My father-in-law, he thought that rubbing Listerine on his head would grow hair. And whenever he died, I think he had 3 hairs up there. So, you know, I'm not so sure if it worked or not. But, you know, it seems like there's a remedy. There's an antidote. You know, there's something that counteracts things in our lives. And this morning, I will tell you, if any of you find yourself being ministered to by this message and saying, you know what, I probably complain. I'm probably a complainer. I may not complain with the best of them, but I found myself there. Understand that it's saying, God, your sovereignty on my life doesn't count. I'm going to gripe about it. God, I don't care if it disrupts the unity in the body of Christ. I don't care. I'm going to complain. Or maybe you say, I don't care if it discredits my Christian testimony. I'm going to complain. Or perhaps you're sitting there saying, wait a minute, I'm going to change. Because I don't think it's right for complaints to come out of my mouth. I've got too much to be grateful for. I'm going to give you the prescription for it. Are y'all ready? That brings us to today, really. This is a day of Thanksgiving. This whole week. Thanksgiving week. We're going to gather together with our families here in a few days and we're going to say, Lord, I'm thankful for all that you've done for me. It's more than just this bounty that's set before us on this table. It is what you have done in my life. And I have to tell you that I believe that we are people who do that far too few times during the course of the day. Praise and thanksgiving is the antidote to complaining.